Okie doke, we ready? All righty. So, he talks about God's eternal purpose that was carried out in Christ Jesus. So let me read to you from Scripture what that eternal purpose was. This is from Ephesians chapter 1, same book. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning in verse 3. I'm going to read through verse 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has, past tense, blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. That's a pretty cool verse. Is there any particular spiritual blessing you've been praying into? Like, you would like to have a breakthrough. You'd like to have this particular kind of anointing or this particular whatever. All that would come under the category of blessing. Well, you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. It's already yours. Just as he chose us, has blessed past tense, just as he chose us. Now notice what he says in verse 3, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, in the person of Christ, just as he chose us in Christ before the foundation of the world. So you were chosen to be in Christ before the foundation of the world, and it was then that every spiritual blessing was deposited as yours because it's all in him. And that was, in God's heart and mind, that occurred before the foundation of the world, before the fall ever happened. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who is blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, for us to be holy and blameless before him, the Father, in love. He predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ to himself, according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. And the word beloved there is in capital, which is talking about Jesus. He's referring to Jesus as the beloved, my beloved son, he said about him, in whom I'm well pleased, at his baptism. And this is another good verse. I'm going to read it now. Father Mark Finley back there turned me on to this scripture a few months ago. This is from 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 9. Who saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to anything we did, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted, past tense, which was granted us in Christ, in the person of Christ, from before time. From before time. Just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and blameless before him in love. Now notice what he says here, that in Christ, before the Father, we would be holy and blameless in love. Not holy and blameless by my performance, but holy and blameless in Christ, in the context of this love relationship. It's not like a holier than thou kind of thing. It's not like some performance thing, like some restricted thing, that you'd be presented holy and blameless in Christ before the Father in love. It's a love thing. But he explains it even better. He predestined us in love. See, there's no periods here. From verse 3 through verse 14 is the longest sentence in the Bible because there are no periods. They put periods in the translation because they don't think it makes any sense. What happens is Paul's talking about God's eternal purposes and his grace. He says in verse 10, everything's summed up in Jesus. And he's so excited, he can't just figure out a place to put a period. Where do you stop? It's amazing. It's stunning. So let me read it to you again without any periods. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, or heavenlies in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that to be holy and blameless before the Father in love, he predestined us to adoption as sons through Christ to himself. What was the predetermined plan? What was the eternal plan? That you would be adopted as sons through Christ. Now, if you're a girl, don't get offended. I have to live with being called the bride of Christ, okay? But the biblical word for adoption, it comes from two Greek words. Son placed. It's the placing of a son, the legal placing of a son, who's now no longer considered just a child, and they now take their place in being the heir. Not just, it's coming, it's now yours. You're a co-heir, it's all yours. You have an intimate place in relationship with the head of the household, with the father now. That's just in the world, and now you've been an heir of everything. So it's talking about let me read it to you. Galatians chapter 4. Now hear these verses. Verse 1. Now I say, as long as an heir is a child, he does not differ at all from a slave, although he's the owner of everything, but he doesn't have access to everything. Because you're a child. But he's under guardians and managers until the date set by the father, that it would be the bar mitzvah, the adoption, where you now become the heir who has access to everything. Access to everything. So also, while we were children, we were held in bondage under the elemental principles of the world. But when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, Jesus, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. Now hear this. And because you're sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but you're a son. And if you're a son, then you're an heir of God through Christ. God's eternal plan, his eternal purpose, was that you might be adopted through being grafted into the sonship of Jesus. It's not just that he adopts you. You see, it says about Israel in Romans chapter 9, that Israel were sons of God, adopted sons of God. But that's different, because that's like they had an intimate relationship with God. But what he's saying here is that God looked for a day when you would get to experience the very sonship that Jesus experiences in relationship with the Father and the Spirit. That you would experience adoption into his fellowship by grafting you into Christ, and it's the Spirit of his Son that's in our hearts crying, Abba, Father. It's different than just being brought into a place of intimacy. You get to experience the intimacy and the privileges of Jesus. That you have access to everything because your adoption into this relationship is because you are grafted into the person of Jesus. And therefore, what he has, you have. Where he is, you are. Jesus said in John 14 that he was going to go to the cross so that where he is, we'll always be able to be there. And also where we are, he's always able to be there. So let's think about this. There's this word, let me use that word, it's a long fancy word. So when I say God, what do we think? When you say the word God, you should think Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Now, God isn't sometimes Father, sometimes Son, sometimes Holy Spirit. A lot of Christians think that, and that's like one of the original heresies. And God doesn't like dislike you because you don't get it, but it's important that we understand God exists. Now, you won't understand this, but it is the way it is. The Trinity is, God is three persons of one being and one substance. It's one God, one being, one substance, but he exists as three persons. So God has always been in community. He's always been in relationship. Father, Son, and Holy Spirit have eternally experienced this happy, joy-filled, laugh-filled, holy, gleeful, passionate love relationship and fellowship with each other. Can you only imagine how much joy does God have? How much does the Holy Spirit enjoy Jesus, and Jesus enjoy the Holy Spirit, and they enjoy the Father? The intimacy they share. There's just this commingling and relationship, an amazing fellowship of love and joy. God's a God of hope, hope-filled. There's nothing stern or depressing about God. The whole purpose for creation and the creation of humanity is that God, who's the God, what is God? We could say God is what? God is love. And so for the very nature of God, these three persons of one being of one substance, the God, Father, Son, and Spirit, they share this mutual love with each other. So the whole deal is that God said, let's create the earth, or humanity, and humanity, and let's open the doors to our fellowship, to that circle, and let's invite them in to participate in our communion, in our life, and we'll participate in theirs. Not with them, but in them. Them not with us, but in one of us, in us. And so the plan always was, Jesus, that at some point Jesus was going to come and include humanity into his person, and in his person bring us into the fellowship of the Father and the Spirit, so we could enjoy his intimacy. That's part of his sonship. And we would enjoy everything that Jesus has, everything that Jesus is. The unsearchable riches of Christ would be ours. God chose that for us. We didn't vote for it. It was just his heart's desire and love. It's called adoption. So don't think of adoption just in terms of what we do as Americans or Westerners, but this meant that the word adoption would be included. So Israel was included into the blessing of God. They were included in all kinds of stuff. But not until Christ came was humanity included at the level Jesus is included in the fellowship of the Father and the Spirit, played out in your humanity. That's amazing to me. That's stunning to me. And to understand that, it'll be a lot easier then for you to understand things like, as we go over the next couple of days, why you're forgiven, why there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. He can no more condemn you and reject you than he can Jesus. You with me? Sort of, kind of. It's big. It's really good. It's the gospel. Our inclusion in the life that Jesus lived, in fellowship with the Father and the Spirit. How many of you want to get closer to God? Well, guess what? It's too late. You can't get any closer to God than Jesus is. He's as close as it gets, and you're in Him. Yeah, but you can grow in your consciousness of that nearness, of that intimacy, but you can't get any closer. You can't work your way. You don't have to stand in line and take one step at a time until you finally get to the front of the line, can have this great, intimate, close relationship with God. Here, Jesus took you to the front of the line in Him. This is true. You can't earn it. You can't unearn it. It's there. It was the eternal purpose that He predestined you and me to participate in the sonship of Jesus. That means His relationship and all of His spiritual riches. How much is that? John chapter 16. Listen, I'm not getting a lot of amen, so either I'm not making much sense or something the enemy's trying to keep you from hearing. This should make you want to spin around in circles. What is it, Abby, that happens to the dog? To my dog? Zoomies. You ever seen a dog with zoomies? They just run around, spin around until they... You should be doing that. If you're not doing it on the outside, then, yeah, maybe you were all raised Presbyterians, but you should be doing that in the inside, because that's an amazing thing to think about that. That's what it means that you have been seated in the heavenly places in Christ right now. And you walk around on this earth with that reality, enjoying that reality, being woven into His existence and Him being woven into yours, into His existence. That's His existence and Him being woven into yours, that He might live His life through you, that you might enjoy His life in the unique, stunning fellowship of the burning heart, Mike Bickle calls it, the triune God. It's just remarkable. Jesus says in John 16, but the work of the Holy Spirit, verse 13. And when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will speak, not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will disclose to you what is to come. He shall glorify Me, and He shall take what's Mine, and He will disclose it to you, or reveal it to you, or unveil it to you. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit's going to glorify Me, Jesus. He's going to take what's Mine, and He will reveal it to you, and all things that the Father has are Mine. Wow, that's a lot. Amen? So for me to participate, to be grafted in, my adoption isn't just that I've been included. I've been included into the relationship Jesus has. I've been included into union with Him and His relationship with the Father and the Holy Spirit. I've been included into His life that He might be included in my life. And therefore, everything that He has, which is everything the Father has, is Mine. His intimacy is my intimacy. His right to be face-to-face with God is my right to be face-to-face with God. I'm there. I'm there in Him. And everything, every spiritual blessing that's in the heavenly places in Christ, of course, is Mine. Of course, I've been blessed with it. Whatever that blessing is you're crying out for, whatever that breakthrough you're crying out for, it's really already yours. The breakthrough is just you're seeing it. You're discovering it. You're believing it, walking in it. Thou love. The fact that you and I all carry the same destiny. We are predestined for this. That's why he says, according to the kind intentions of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, which he freely bestowed on us in the beloved. You've been included into Jesus' belovedness. You have been included into Jesus' only begottenness, who lives in the bosom of the Father. John chapter 1, verse 18. And that's where you live. That's where I live. I tell you, it's really hard to give in to feeling sorry for yourself about anything when this is true. This is what we were created for. To experience the very sonship of Jesus. And this is why we use the term, I don't mind the phrase living for Christ as a heart thing, my desire, I love him, I want to surrender to him because I love him. But we say this a lot, living from Christ, not for Christ. Living from Christ, living from his position, living from his treasures, living from his adequacy, living from his ability, living from who he is. Now, hear me, everybody. Everybody's going to look up so I know you're hearing me. I can tell that you're listening with your eyes open. Being in Christ is being placed into his life and his story. That he might live his life and his story through your life and your life story. But if you keep demanding your way, then you're doing the best you can for Christ, and it doesn't get any better than that. You can experience him, and you're grafted into the sonship of Jesus. But you can't experience that if you're determined that you're going to control your life and complain about it every time things don't go the way you want them to go. We have to really settle that. We have to settle this level of surrender. I mean, do we want to surrender to this life, this thing that we're presenting? It's ours, but God does give us a choice. Is this what we're going to walk out? And it's walked out daily. It's evidenced daily in the way we respond to situations and circumstances. I'm in Christ. So my day today was this. So the day today was decided that I'm going to not come to work. I'm going to stay home and stay at my office at the house. And I'm just going to saturate. I did that yesterday too, but I was here a lot of the day. And I've got this 11-month-old now, Labrador puppy who's wonderful. And she's learned to be really passive, docile. When I'm studying, she's sleeping under the table now. This is really good. But after a while, But it turned out it wasn't going to rain as much during the day. So I could let her out some, trying to train her now in this wireless fence that we have. Well, today was the day that 5,000 Lutherans decided they wanted to come gracefully and remove the trees from my house. So every few minutes, they're like yelling at me through the window. And I told them, if you need me, I'm in the office. Can we do this? Where's your property? That kind of thing. And then the dog has been in there for long enough. Dog doesn't want to hang out with Jesus all day long. The dog wants to do some stuff. And it was just the wildest day. And the phone calls and all kind of stuff. What I can do is either get anxious about that, get frustrated about that, or remember, Colossians 3 says, for I've died. Not the individual self, but the independent self died on the cross. He made that decision for you. For I have died, and my life is hidden with Christ and God. And when Christ, who's my life, is revealed, Christ is my life. I've been grafted into his sonship. Christ is my life. And so if I complain and get upset and get frustrated, all I'm doing is saying, I don't really want your life story today. Listen, God, I'm hanging out with you all day today. And so that's a really spiritual, holy thing. And so I'm frustrated that this is being messed up. It's him, right? It's his day. I did what I knew to do. Or let's say you go to a restaurant. Now, I know that you know that if you've ever done this or ever seen anybody do it before, you go into a restaurant and they bring the food out late, the waiter does or waitress does, or the food's not quite right, and you grouch on them. Let me just say what you're doing. You're grouching at God because you're in Christ. And you're saying, God, I don't want your story. I want my story. And your story was to give me an opportunity to speak the love of God to this person, to experience love, joy, peace, patience, kindness. Kindness? I don't know anywhere the fruit of the Spirit's orneriness or impatience. It's his story. I've been grafted into his sonship. So here's the deal. I get all the privileges of his sonship, the nearness, all the things that belong to the Father now belong to him, now belongs to me. So I get all these privileges, but guess what privilege he gets? My life. I get his life, but he gets my life. It's better. It is. Yes, it's better. It's the difference between eating poop or filet mignon every day. I mean, but one of the things God's going to want to settle in your life this week, how far are you wanting to go in this? How far are you wanting to go? Do you truly, wistfully long for the heights? Is the Spirit of God moaning in you to say, Lord, I want to experience it all? You know, in my when I stuff in my news, my emails and stuff, it says further up and further in. That's a Lewis statement. Well, you really can't go further up. You're as up as you can get. You're in Christ. You're seated in the heavenly places in Jesus. He's your life. You're grafted into his sonship. That's your adoption. I didn't have to do anything to earn that. He chose that for me. The kind intentions of his will. It's all grace, grace, grace. So if you really, really long for the heights, now if you long for other things, no, I kind of want to be surrendered, but I want my stuff too, then you're going to have to just live with the stress that comes with that. But if you understood the deal, that when you became a Christian, you said yes to the fact that independent self died. We shouldn't be wrestling through that issue anymore. He wrestled through that issue for you 2,000 years ago at the cross. He worked through that issue for you 2,000 years ago. The gospel's good news. There's just one little small print thing that if you want to experience it all, then he has to have it all. And I want to experience the fullness of Christ, not the halfness of Jesus. Will he still bless you? Can you still know his in your heart, his presence is really good? But how far do you want to go in this? You understand what I'm saying? How far do you want to go in this? Do you want to know love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control, regardless of the circumstances? Regardless of the circumstances? Or are you content with having a little bit of it? I mean, you just want to sort of a little bit gospel, a little of the gospel? Or do you want to know the great joy that the gospel brings? Now we grow in this, I understand. You know, when we blow it, it's not the end of the world. We just kept start walking again because we have eternal forgiveness, which we'll talk about in the next few days. But I'm just wanting to say to all of us, where are we at in all this? Christ said he's your life. Is he? Jesus said, and they tried to bring him food in John chapter 4. He said, look, no thanks. My meat is to do the will of my Father. Is that your meat? Is that what you long for more than anything else? And now that gets worked out in daily living, but you're leaning in that direction. You with me? Like you mess up, but he made room for that. He calls it practicing righteousness on purpose. I mean, he makes room for that. You don't intentionally go out there to blow it, but sometimes we blow it and go, geez, that's not fun. It didn't feel very good. I don't want to live like this forever. That's not who I am. So we're leaning in that place. We're always moving in that place. Lord, yes, yes, yes. Because I want to experience the life and life more abundant that you alone can give. And that's what you came to give me. That was the plan. That was the eternal plan. Before Adam ever fell, the eternal purpose is that you would experience the life and life more abundant that Jesus lives, enjoys, his sonship. All righty, turn to Genesis. We'll start at the beginning. I'm looking out at your faces, and they look kind of blank, so I thought, let's just start from the beginning, and maybe we'll get it. Okay. We could be here longer tonight than I thought we were going to be. No, this is where we were going to go anyway. Everybody kind of getting that whole thing about adoption? Ours is totally unique because our adoption is that we've been grafted into the sonship of Jesus. And therefore, wow, the Father sees you in Christ. He didn't just see you in Christ. That's who you are in Christ. All right, turn to John. John 14. I wasn't going to tell you where. I was testing your prophetic anointing, but John 14. We already did Genesis. Were we not listening? Did she take a nap? We just went right through Genesis. That's okay. I know. Now, what's going to be fun in the morning is we're going to talk about how did he accomplish this? And what did he do to accomplish this? We'll look a little bit at the fall in Genesis, but I just had to change the direction. We'll see what happened at the cross and the incarnation. This is in John chapter 14, verse 1. Now, he's just told the boys that he's going to go away. They're not really thrilled to hear that because they left everything to follow him. Now, later in John chapter 16, he says, this is still part of the same Bible study, John 13 through chapter 17. Later on, he tells him, look, it's really better that I go away because I know you've enjoyed me being with you. But if I'll go away, the Holy Spirit will come and I'll be in you and I'll live through you. So instead of watching me live, you'll get to experience me living through you. That's much better. So in John 14, he says, let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In other words, if you believe in God, and obviously you do, you're a good Jew, then trust me too. It's going to be okay. I said I'm going to go away, but it's a good thing. Because I'm going to come back. But not with you. It'll be in you. In my Father's house are many abiding places. If it were not so, I would have told you. For I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Now, we always talk about receiving Christ. That's good. What's really more important is he's received you into his life. We talk about receiving him into our life. Understand that. But he's received you into his life. There's nowhere in the Bible that says you receive him in your heart. That's a good phrase. It's a good thing in your inner person. It says, as many as receive him. That's good. That's true. I prayed to receive him. He knew what I was saying. He wasn't confused. It took. It's a great thing to tell people. But the reality is, he received you into his heart. He received you into his life. He received you into his existence. He wasn't baptized into you. You were baptized into him. And so Jesus says, I go to prepare a place for you, that where I am, you'll be also. I'll come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, there you'll be also. Now here's, there's some really cool stuff, but I got to wait till tomorrow. If I get out of sequence, we'll have to start all over again. No, has it been that bad? All right, who said the no thing? That was Karen, okay. In the King James Bible, it says, in my Father's house are many mansions. That word's not there. There ain't no mansions. I hate to say it to you, but you're not going to finally get your mansion when you go to heaven. I don't know what it looks like in there, in heaven, and some of those things, but it's not a mansion. It's the same word in John 15. I've gone to prepare a abiding place for you, an abiding place in you. John 15 says, if you abide in me and I abide in you, so the abiding place is that being in Christ. In the Psalms, in several Psalms, it says, God has set my feet in a large room. It's a foretelling of this place being in Christ. It's considered like the spiritual large room. I've gone to prepare a place for you in me. Where did he go to do that? To the cross. He went to the cross. And in his death, who you used to be was crucified. That raised up in him, you now have a place in him, that where he's received you now to himself, that where he is, you may be also. Now, the cool thing about that, that's true. Whether you're doing this, or you're throwing frisbee, or you're playing baseball, or you're coaching baseball, or you're watching your favorite sport thing, you with me? It's played out in my humanity. I've been placed into his existence. He's been placed into mine. That he's received me in himself. That where he is, I am also. Where he is in the presence of the Father and the Spirit, I am in fellowship. Where I am, he is. He even says it later. He says, I in you and you in me. I can't read those verses because I colored in that page and I can't read those verses. Oh, I know what I'll do. Let me do this. Let's see. Y'all don't mind, do you? You got nothing else to do for a few more minutes. John? Can't believe I'm doing this. This is a miracle that I can do stuff like this. So let me read these scriptures to you. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. If I go and prepare a place for you, that place is that large room called being in Christ. On Mother's Day here, the Holy Spirit just moved. It's like there was like this fresh wind, this breathing in us, whatever it was. Amazing thing. And the Lord said to us very clearly that I am now offering you to go from glory to glory, breakthrough, And this breakthrough is going to be you're seeing bigger, how big this large room in Christ is, that you might experience more. Seeing more so you can experience more. And for those, we can say, there are many, that's been amazing. It's an amazing time. I wish I could have some of the folks here tell their story, what God's just done and is doing. God has prepared this place for you, this in Christ place. I will come to you, receive you to myself, that where I am, you'll be also. And I know the way where I'm going, the cross. Thomas said to him, Lord, we do not know where you're going. How do we know the way? Because Jesus said, I'm the way. He is the way. He doesn't show us the way. He is the way. Let's make it practical. In whatever situation you might find yourself in, he doesn't show you the way out. He is the way. Life in him is the way. I don't know how to handle this. He's the way. He's the truth about how this is going to work. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. You ever asked that question before? Lord, I just don't know how to do this. He's the way. Well, that's not very practical. Yeah, but let's just start there. And then he can order your steps. Let's just start with not being anxious anymore and going, you're the way. You're the truth. You're the truth about this situation. I know what the enemy's telling me. What a horrible situation. What a horrible circumstance. What a horrible person to work with. What a horrible person to live with. Jesus is the truth here. Not you, not him, not them. He is. He's the way to walk this out. He's the truth. He's the story here. Well, I just can't handle this anymore. We got to get over the I can't handles. Because you're in Christ and he can handle. You can do all things in Christ who strengthens you, saved in his life. See, what I want to do is from this point forward, make it so practical for each of us. Use as many illustrations, demonstrations as I possibly can. I'll use this again sometime, but recently I was talking to the Lord about something, and I said, Lord, I found myself not abiding in Christ because I was trying to figure out something. I was trying to figure out how to deal with this person. I didn't know the way to do it. They were just being difficult. Nobody in this room or anybody that you know, so don't ask. And if you guessed it, I would lie to you because there's eternal forgiveness. I'd be okay. So I said, Lord, I don't know. And then I just stopped. I said, Lord, I don't know what to do. As if I never learned this in my entire life. It's worked out daily, no matter how long you've walked with the Lord, right? And the blood and gut stuff of real Christianity, real life, this has worked out. We're learning. We're growing in that. And he said, why don't we love her more? And then he said, I do. And then he said, you want to join me? That's practical language to me. We're not separated. But he's talking to me because I'm still the individual. This life in Christ, this grafted in the sonship of Jesus, this participating in the fellowship of the triune God is played out in my humanity, right? I said, well, join you. I mean, you're my life. What's my option? Just live as if I'm not a Christian? I said, well, of course I'd join you because you've already made the decision for me about this, haven't you? Because you're the way and you're the truth here. The truth isn't how bad this person's acting or not acting or being or not being. That you're the truth here because you're the life. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and life. No one comes to the Father but through me. Sonship. I've come to the Father. I have his relationship with the Father because I've come in him. If you had known me, you would have known my Father, Jesus said. From now on, you know him and you've seen him. Jesus didn't say he was the Father. He just said, if you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and you've seen him. It's amazing. And Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father and it'll be enough for us. I mean, these are good Jews. And so the idea of being able to see Yahweh, the Father, And Jesus, he looked at him and said, I've been with you so long. I love the disciples, don't you? I mean, they're just knotheads like the rest of us. Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How do you say, show us the Father? Jesus didn't say he was the Father. He said, but if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. He says, do you not believe, now hear this, that I am in the Father and the Father's in me? Theologians throughout the centuries have called this the great dance of the Trinity. God, who's Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. There's just this mutual indwelling and abiding, and it's called the great dance. You can see what God did in grafting you into the sonship of Jesus. He invited us into the dance. Think about that. Do you not believe that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me? Now here are these words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does his works. Wow. What? Jesus says the Son of Man laid down his right on earth to live out of his deity. And he lived as the second Adam to show us how to live. He is in the Father, and the Father is in him. There's the Father doing the works through him. Believe me that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. He says it again. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Jesus is saying the lifestyle that I've demonstrated before you should be so supernatural that you shouldn't have any problem believing that I'm in the Father and the Father's in me. See, we should be able to say to people around us, you don't believe that I'm trying to tell you? Then believe on account of the life itself. Believe on account of the works themselves. And the life I've lived before you, there can be only one explanation for it, that I'm in Christ, and therefore Christ is in me, and he's the only explanation for this lifestyle. So this is, Roxanne can understand this, share this thing. 2 years ago, over 2 years ago, my older brother, her dad, he died. We didn't expect him to die. He got COVID, and 2 weeks later he died. He died on a Sunday, the 6th. But Olivia went in the hospital that weekend, and she'd been recovering from a bad surgery the year before, almost a year, but we didn't expect that she was dying. I didn't expect she was dying. Olivia, she's like trying to kill a Frisbee. She was tough, man, like an acre of garlic. We used to laugh about that. But she had to go in the hospital, and she was getting sicker and sicker. She wasn't recovering from this surgery. It seemed to be getting worse. We didn't understand it. She's in the hospital in Birmingham. Jimmy dies on Sunday, the 6th, and on Tuesday, the 8th, the doctor walks in and says, your wife has got about 15 tumors in her liver and her pancreas, and she's going to die in just a short period of time. There's nothing we can do. I was like, what? And so we did all the crying and stuff. We let a few people know. But the next morning, I spent the night, of course, in the room with her. I did that whenever she was in the hospital, but I drive home because I have to do my brother's funeral. And then 2 days later, bring her home on the 10th to watch her die on the 23rd. Now, let me just say this to you. Why didn't I just fall apart? Were there tears? Yes. This has played out in my humanity. Were there lots of tears at times? Yes. There's still those things happen. Yes, it's 37 years. I mean, but did I go into depression? Did I have to work through all the steps of grief? No. Because there's one step. His name is Jesus. And his grace held me high. I've been grafted into his sonship. So the fellowship, the intimate fellowship, the face-to-face fellowship, the dance with the Father and the Holy Spirit kept me up. His life in me, I'm in him, he's in me, held me high. Now, I'm not telling you that to brag. I'm telling you that as a person who was clinically depressed, clinically filled with anxiety, and why didn't I just fall apart? Because of him, because of this message, because of this truth, because he's the truth. He was the truth about that situation. He was the truth about my future. Why didn't Roxanne? Did she miss her dad? Did she grieve over her dad? Yes. But did I watch her go through devastation where she can't function? No. Because Christ is functional. He's more than big enough. So I'm here to tell you it's real. It was real all those decades ago when I had to walk out of my mental illness. It was real through that kind of stuff we went through. And then all the other things that happened during that season, during COVID and all the stuff. The worst thing in the world to start being as a pastor, you should never start being a pastor during COVID. Now, let me just say this to you too. Livia is thrilled that I'm telling this story this way. This was our conversation, all our marriage. This is the things we talked about all the time. Let me do this real quick. Then we're done. Verse 16, I'll ask the Father and he will give you another helper that he may be with you forever. That is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it does not see him or know him, but you know him because he abides with you, and at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit will be in you. And the Holy Spirit's what makes this whole thing work. And I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. After a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me because I'll live, you'll live also. And in that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you're in me, and I'm in you. Wow. That I'm woven into your existence, and I'm part of the dance, and you're woven into my existence, and you're part of the blood and guts? Yes. Life and life more abundant. So, Bishop, I've got these issues. Well, tomorrow we'll talk more about it, and we're going to see how in a 3-hour period, 2,000 years ago, Jesus and you worked out those issues so that you can walk out of them. And your only issue being him, who's your life. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Amen.